Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
And this message that I'm preaching, I believe, is symbolically, prophetically for this church and this city right now. 1 Kings 18 verse 20. I want to just read this with you. I'm going to go through the scripture prophetically and see what God is going to do. What's the time? God is not a man. 1 Kings 18 verse 20. It says, so Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? I want you to stay with me. How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. I'm going to say it again. But the people answered him not a word. After this little sentence, you're never going to be silent again. Why do you think I need a response? And the people answered him not a word. Amen. I need a response. Don't sit on the fence. Elijah was very angry because of the silence. Silence speaks many words, even though it's silent. Come on, you guys, with me. We here, listen to me. Apostle Alex just started here this year. But I'm telling you, we're going to give the devil a big hiding. You're going to give the devil a big hiding for everything that he has taken from you and your family and your family and your generation, forefathers and your generations before you. The devil is in big trouble. Just stay close in this church. And you will see after a year and a year and a half how the people will say about you, something is different about you. It is because you are in the perfect will of God. The church has become a club and it is supposed to be an equipping training center. For some has been given apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Are you guys with me? To equip. What is my purpose here? It is to equip you for the work of the ministry so that you come in here as a boot camp and you get trained how to cast out devils, how to heal the sick, how to raise the dead, and how to prophesy. And that we can go out there not with a little tract and invite somebody to go to church, but we go out there with the power of God upon our lives and we prophesy to them, lay hands on them, and they will beg you, where do you go to church? What has happened to your life? With no flyer or no tract. I pray that the power of God will be like that in this place. This will be a place of war. This will be a center of war. For God is going to clothe many of you in his full armor. God is going to clothe many of you in pieces of his armor. And he's going to clothe you with weapons of warfare. Listen, the mighty men that came around King David, the Bible says that they were trained in every kind of weapon. Some of them had swords in both hands. The one man was standing in a place and he was fighting the enemy until the sword got stuck to his hand. The other one jumped into a pit on a snowy day just for the hell of it, just to have fun, and he slew a lion. Are you guys with me? These were mighty men. They were trained. They were excellent. They were effective. They were more successful than David in warfare. But they knew who God appointed. Amen. And the Bible says that David had the kingdom of might, the kingdom of Geborah, a kingdom that is everlasting. There's no end to his kingdom and to his rule and to his reign. Because how many of you know Jesus Christ came out of his loins? Come on, are you guys with me? The son of David. So the people answered him not a word. I was in a meeting. We had a revival. In fact, we had quite a big revival in one of the small towns in South Africa. And it was about the same size of church, the building. But I think there was about 300 people. They couldn't fit in there to sit outside. And the glory of God just came down. And one most interesting thing that touched me is the little children. We wouldn't even pray for them. We would have little children lined up, about 70 or 80 of them. And you'll just, I want to pray for them for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you just blow and it's like a wind comes in. And they all fall under the power of God and start praying in tongues. And we had a revival. We saw this revival and invited me back again to do another conference the year thereafter. And I was sitting with all these pastors, in a meeting. And the biggest mistake we can do as pastors is sitting in a meeting. Amen. And just meet, and talk. It's like when King David came, when David was a young man and he came to his brothers to take them some food. The Bible says that Saul and King David's brothers were just discussing and they were having a meeting about how to take down Goliath. But how many of you know when David came, he had no meeting. He just said, "Where is this Philistine who cursed the armies of God?" And he went out and he took down Goliath. Come on, are you guys with me? I need a response. Everybody say, revival is response. Revival requires response. Where there is revival, listen, the spirit of revival is going to come into the city. You're just going to find out one day, sooner or later. You're just going to find out. Listen, it's like the day of Pentecost. On the 50th day, there were 10 days praying up in the upper room. There were 500 people to start off, and they ended with 120 people. I can just imagine the 121st person that walked out of that door. And as he shut the door behind him, because he kind of like had enough now. And as he shut the door behind him, he just heard... And it was a violent tempest wind that blew in the upper room, and the Holy Ghost fell with fire, and that 121st person just missed it because he didn't want to press in, persist, and to continue. Come on, guys, with me. Just press in, because once, listen to me, there might just be one moment, there might be one Sunday that the spirit of revival is going to fall. It might be tonight. It might be next week. It might be in the next few months. But you don't want to miss it. Come on, guys, with me. You want to be at the place when the spirit of God falls. You want to be in a place where there's a holy visitation. I have been in visitations. I have been in services where the glory of God would fall so heavy that 600 people can't get up from the floor. That when I go back to my hotel room, I can't even talk to people. I'll speak to the receptionist and they'll cry. I'll speak to the waiter and they'll cry because of the glory of God upon me that I carried from the meeting out. It had nothing to do with me as a preacher. I was standing here and God fell there in the people. Come on, you guys, with me. We don't want to miss a holy visitation. One touch from God, one visitation from Him can change your whole life. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire. He is God." Come on, guys, with me. The God who answers by fire. He is God. You and I serve a God who isn't silent. You and I serve a God who answers by fire. Tonight He's going to come into this place and He's going to answer your needs by fire. I sense that the fire of heaven is going to fall in this place. If you can, do you guys have the scripture, Matthew? I know you're under the, you're like, pray, worshiping God. It's great, but just see if you can put up the scripture for me. Thank you. It's verse, you can go from verse 25. 18, 1 Kings 18, verse 25. In Matthew's in the back, he's like, there is no limitation in the presence of God. When the anointing transcends races, the anointing transcends cultures. Amen. Verse 25, it says, "Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, 'Choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it.' So they took a bull which was given to them." Listen to this. "And they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. And they were, and it says, but there was no voice. Say with me, there was no voice. Baal has no voice. I want to tell you, Satan has no voice in comparison to God. God answers with a voice of fire. When God speaks, fire speaks. Listen, the Bible says in the book of the Old Testament that God spoke out of the midst of the fire. Where the fire of God is, you will always hear the voice of God coming forth. When someone is on fire, they will always have the spoken revelation word on the inside of them. Like Wesley, John Wesley would say, dip me in a kerosene of your Holy Ghost and set me on fire so that people can come and watch me burn. That's what God wants to do. He wants to set you alight for the... Listen to me. Isaiah chapter number 60 says, for you shall arise and my glory shall come upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your light. When you are on fire, people will come to watch you burn. But it must be a holy fire. May this pulpit, may this altar be an altar that can receive holy fire from heaven. So listen, it says, Paul has no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had built, made. They were upset. They broke it down. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, he said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. Now let me just say this. I'm going to go back to verse 27 there. It says this, and so it was that Elijah began to mock them. Listen, where God cannot be demonstrated, the people will be mocked. Christians who cannot demonstrate God is Christians that will be mocked. Are you guys with me? There's three levels of faith. There's three realms of faith. When the disciples were on the boat and Peter was about to walk on the water, you see, Peter operated in a realm of faith where he might have sunk, but he walked on water, and it was forever recorded in the books, in the Logos Word of God. But you had three types of realms of faith there, and you had three types of people. You had the people that were on the shore. They didn't even get into the boat. Then you had the people who at least got into the boat. They went into the storm. Are you guys with me? That's the second realm of faith. And then you had a Peter who stepped out onto the water. That's the third realm of faith. You have those who are on the shore. I call them spectators. It's people that just come to the service to... I wonder what this man of God is going to deliver today. It's not so anointed. He was more anointed last week. He's not so anointed today. I'm going to give a small offering. You know, just spectating. Just spectating. Some people get saved. I've seen many more get saved. I was in the Brownsville revival, you know, or whatever revival, and I saw more people getting saved. And that's the spectators. They're tolerating God. Once they leave, the new wine will come. You know, I've been in services. We went on till we preach like this till 12 o'clock. By 10, 11 o'clock, new wine gets poured out onto the services. And those people who have missed and walked out, they've missed a radical visitation of God. Amen. And then, you know, you get those who get into the boat. I call them participators. At least they are participating. They are taking a step to participate. But then you get those who step out of the boat onto the water. They are demonstrators. Come on, are you guys with me? They are risk takers. They are those who step out upon the water and they demonstrate and taking a risk. You get spectators, partakers, or demonstrators. The question is, who are you and I? Are we spectators on the shores, watching the people doing the work of God? Or are we participators going into the storm, at least going out on the water? Or are we demonstrators that say, I want to demonstrate the kingdom of God? Jesus came to demonstrate the kingdom. Listen, a people that cannot demonstrate God will be mocked. So Elijah mocked them because they couldn't demonstrate the power of their God. Listen to what he said to them. He said, cry aloud, for your God is a God. Either he is meditating, which means that either he's like Buddha sitting somewhere and meditating because your God is not here. Baal is nowhere to be seen. Maybe he's meditating somewhere. Elijah's mocking them. Are you guys with me? And then he goes on, he said, or maybe he is busy. Do you know what the word busy means? It means busy in our common English sense language. It means that he went and sat on the toilet. Check that. Don't believe me, Pastor Alex. Go study it in the Hebrew. Take that word in the Hebrew, busy. It means bowel movement, which means that, listen here, prophets of Baal, your God is not here. Maybe he's sitting on the toilet somewhere, but he is not here. Then it goes on and it says this verse. Listen, maybe he has gone on a journey. Maybe your God has taken a vacation because he's not here. Maybe he has taken a summer vacation because he is not here. And then it goes on and it says, or maybe he is sleeping and perhaps he must be awakened. We serve a God. Let me tell you, he doesn't go to the toilet. He doesn't go on a vacation. And we serve a God that neither sleeps nor slumbers. And he is the God who answers by fire. Come on, are you guys with me? Every situation, listen to me, every situation you and I have, he can answer it by fire. He is an all-consuming fire. His presence is fire. When God manifests himself, most of the times, it is by fire. Come on, guys, with me. How many of you in this place saying to me that you are hungry for the fire of the Holy Ghost? How many of you are hungry for the presence of God, for a fresh, holy fire? How many of you are hungry? Come on. There is a fire. That fire is real. I've been in meetings with a fire fall. I would go get into bed next to my wife. She's sleeping. I just get into the bed and she starts weeping without knowing that I'm getting into the bed because the fire would fall on her. Amen. But we must pull on that fire. I believe that tonight something's going to happen. Listen to this. Or perhaps he must be awakened. So Elijah goes on. He says, so they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was the custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. We've had meetings where the joy of the Lord pours out and the whole night. And then we'd go sit at McDonald's and the presence and the joy of God is still on us. And then I get phone calls from Satanists. And then they send me pictures. This is like 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. They send me pictures how they cut themselves now because they're doing a sacrifice now against me. And they're cursing me and they show me all the blood and all the things. And eventually, after they say over the phone call, we're going to kill you and whatever. And they ran to us with 5 knives in a service. When the presence of God is your hiding place, the devil cannot touch you. I shared it last time. As a deer panteth, so my soul pants after you. A deer goes to the water brooks for 2 reasons. Because he's thirsty, but also because when he touches the water, the presence, his scent is lost and the enemy cannot find him. King David says, you are my hiding place. You are my secret place. In the hiding place of the presence of God, no devil can touch you. I was in a service like this. And 5 Satanists ran with knives to the front, with sacrificial knives, while the power and electricity is out of the building. You must see the fear coming on Christians who just sinned that day. Amen. You must see the fear that comes on Christians who's living openly in sin. And they couldn't get close to the altar and the power of God hit them. When you are hidden in the presence of God, no evil shall touch you or come near you. No curse, the Bible says in Psalm 91 that no sickness, nothing shall come upon you when we are currently in the hiding place. Listen, it says, so they were cutting themselves. So I said to the Satanists while they were phoning me and threatening me, and I said, you know what? You're cutting yourself there. I just want to let you know we're sitting in McDonald's and the joy of the Lord is here and the presence of, and we're laughing. You're cutting yourself, but we're laughing. And you know, I just want to say God loves you. And they put on the phone, they're angry. And they sent me more pictures and I was thinking, cutting themselves and doing these things, but we're just sitting and under the presence of God and laughing, and we're talking about the anointing, we're talking about the glory. That's the presence of God. And it says, and when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Satan can also prophesy. Amen. But there was no voice. No one answered. Listen to this. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. And everybody said to me, he repaired. Elijah literally repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. When I was praying, I saw this in the city. I saw altars that were broken down. Altars that were built by men of God. Altars where God once moved. But I saw the word Ikabot. And I saw that in many places the glory has departed. And I heard this with the Lord saying to me, there will be no more Ikabot. Because my glory is returning to the church of the living God. There will be a movement of the glory of God that shall come to the body of Christ. And I shall repair and rebuild my altar. You see, when an altar is repaired, listen, it says Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord. And listen, Elijah took 12 stones. The number of the tribes of Israel, the number 12 is apostolic, which speaks of fatherhood. And the Lord whispered to me and he said, Leon, there's three things that needs to happen for the fire to fall. The altar needs to be restored. But then apostolically, there must be a fatherhood. There must be an apostolic structure. This is the Bible says apostles and prophets are the foundations of the church. It does not mean the 12 apostles exclusively in the New Testament. There are still apostles and prophets today. And those apostles and prophets are the foundation of the church. They are carriers of revelation. They plant churches. Pastors don't plant churches. Pastors care for churches. Apostles and prophets plant churches. Are you guys with me? When it is a true church, because only apostles and prophets have the gift and revelation to plant a movement. If a pastor would plant a church, the church would stagnate and there would be no movement unless there's an apostolic gift that comes in all the time. This is an apostolic and a prophetic house. This house comes out of the most powerful ministries in South Africa. Are you guys with me? This house comes out of a ministry in South Africa which most Americans, I believe, haven't even seen how God has moved. Where I remember that I was in services where our spiritual father who sent Pastor Alex out, would walk into a meeting. There would be 1,000 people. He would walk into the door and the demons would scream out on the other side of the building as the atmosphere shift. It is time that we have men and women of God who carries the unction and power of God upon their lives. It is only going to come by fasting, by praying, by living sacrificial lives and laying our lives down. Come on, guys, with me. The devil is afraid of blood. I've listened to preachers preach. Some preachers preach on TV and they're very anointed. I mean, it's like they're really anointed. I love them and I follow them. But then there's some other preachers that are preaching that I say to my wife, switch off the TV immediately. Because there's no weight in their voice. Amen. And then the Lord began to speak to me and said, Leon, the devil is afraid of blood. How does blood take place? When we sacrifice. When I fast. When I pray. When I live a living sacrifice. Guess what? There is blood there because I'm spilling blood. I'm meaning it in a spiritual sense. Are you guys with me? And when I sacrifice, yes, Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. I know that. But he still said that unless we forsake all, we cannot be his disciple. That every day we have to pick up our cross and follow him. Paul said, I die daily. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1, verse number 2 says, we must become living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service. When you and I are a living sacrifice, listen, in the Old Testament, there were many sacrifices done. If the sacrifice was pure, fire of God would fall. Are you guys with me? And we now in the New Testament, we get sacrifices of praise, sacrifices of worship, sacrifices of giving, sacrifices of fasting. But the Bible says, when I become a living sacrifice, when we and I decide that our life is a living sacrifice, wherever we go, we are a dead walking sacrifice, and the fire of God will every moment fall upon our lives because we are a living sacrifice. When I shed blood, when I fast, when I pray, I can look at a preacher on TV and I say to my wife, that one has no weight. There's no shedding of blood. The devil is not afraid of that one. Switch off. But then I can hear another one. They can just say, hallelujah. And the presence of God is there. And the devil is afraid of the one who sacrifices blood, who goes through fasting, who goes through praying. Come on, are you guys with me? Listen, I remember I got saved. I got saved in a radical way where we used to fast 21 days of water all the time. My friends would stand queues outside of my room. We'd do deliverances on them. Through the night, we cast out devils who were so full of fire. The church, especially in the youths, I have seen they've lost that fire. I've been invited. I was invited to one church, about 15,000 people in South Africa. And they asked me to do their young adults camp, 500 young adults. We went in there and there were some speakers before me. I didn't know them, but I just got there for my session. I was given one session. They wanted to get my spiritual father. They couldn't get him. So they phoned me and I walked up there with my whole team. There was 500 young people. And I preached on the fire of God and began to lay hands. So we laid hands on all 500 of them. People manifested. The one girl kicked the sound desk almost in two pieces. But the fire of God fell upon every single one of them. And the youth pastor came afterwards. He says, Leon, we cannot get you to our church. You are too wild. The people are not going to like you. And I thought, dear God, Lord Jesus Christ, I thought, what happened to the church? But then the other one, they gave me a second session. They had to, because the fire of God was just falling. And then the other youth pastor came to me and he was quite upset with me also because he was now supposed to preach after me. And I can see he was now really upset because we've set the standard high. And I'm not doing that out of a prideful way. But I'm saying when we live sacrifice lives, we're not having a youth group to entertain them and babysitting club. Amen. If your youth comes to Mike, you don't come drop them off here to babysit them. He's going to disciple them and put the fire of God upon them. Too many youth groups have become babysitting clubs. Too many churches have become clubs only. God wants the fire of God back into the church. And I said to them, I said, I'm too wild. You wanted to invite my spiritual father? I said, dear God, thank God you didn't invite him. But because I couldn't get their logic in that one. But anyway, so 12 stones. So drove me to verse number 33, Matthew, verse number 33. And the Bible says this, and he put the wood in order. He cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill four water pots with water. Can anybody say to me, water? And pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. And he also filled the trenches with water. Listen, these prophets of Baal did not put water on the altar. But Elijah said, you know what? I'm going to dare God. I'm going to dare to go into the realm of the impossible. When Peter stepped out of the boat, he stepped into the realm of the unknown. He stepped into the realm of the impossible. Elijah said, I'm going to go into the realm of the impossible. I'm going to pour water on this altar and make it impossible for it to become a lit on fire. Because when God's fire comes, listen to me, that which is impossible becomes possible. And Elijah placed a demand on the altar. He said, God, if you're not going to come and move this night, if you're not going to come and pour out your fire, I am done. Listen to me, I've been in meetings of thousands of people where I would say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, if you don't come through for me tonight, I am finished. I am done. I cannot walk out onto that stage without your presence upon my life. I cannot walk out onto that stage without knowing that you would minister, that you would come into the place. We were discussing the anointing as the seal of God's approval. Amen. So Elijah said, I'm going to put a demand. I heard the Lord saying to me, he's looking for some water to lick up. I'm going to say it again. He's looking for some water to lick up. God is looking for you to do something and put something in front of him that's impossible. Trust him with something of the realm of the unknown, something that's literally impossible, because he will lick it up. and He will make it possible. He will show up and show off and show Himself to be the true God. I promise you. Listen, He says, and it came to, okay, go for me to verse 38. Before I read verse 38, you can put it on the screen so long. Before that, Elijah then prayed, and he began to pray to God, and he prayed for the fire of God to fall. Then the Bible says, at verse 38, it says, then the fire of the Lord fell. Can everybody say to me, the fire fell? And consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Listen to me. The fire of God fell and it consumed everything. When the fire of God will fall upon your life, I am here to prophesy to you, it will consume everything. If there's any situation, any problem, any sickness, any curse, come on, guys, with me. Tonight is the night to say, God, I want to pour some water on my altar. I want to make the impossible possible. I want to put a challenge out, and I want to dare you to come and move on my behalf. So God's fire fell, and it consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And I'm going to close with this. And then I want to pray for us and minister as the Lord leads. John the Baptist said, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. The word baptize means baptizo in the Greek, which means to be utterly immersed. Are you guys with me? You guys with me? Amen. To be fully immersed, to be completely dipped underwater. It comes from the Greek word where you would take a cloth and dip it in dye. And the cloth would take the color of the dye. It would take the nature of the dye. It would take the smell of the dye. It would take every characteristic of the dye. The cloth would become the dye. Are you guys with me? When we get baptized, that's what the word baptizo means. It means to be completely saturated with something. So John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But there is one who is coming after me, and he is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you. He will baptizo you. He will completely saturate you. You will smell like it. You will walk like it. You will talk like it. Everything about you will represent this. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and the fire of God. He will baptize you. You will be completely saturated by the fire of God, which means where you walk, there will be fire. When you talk, there will be fire. When you pray, there will be fire. Listen here, when I say to the church, pray in other tongues, don't pray. Oh yes, Jesus. Oh more, Lord. Oh more, Lord. But when you are full of fire, a man that is set alight, they scream. A man that is set on fire, they scream and run. Listen to me. When the fire of God has certain characteristics, fire. A fire is unstoppable. It is a fire, listen, a fire is goes out of control. A fire always creates a scene. A fire always draws people. Come on, guys, with me. A fire changes everything it comes into contact with. In South Africa, we have many bushfires, which is a light lit up, set up by man, because they have to burn for new life to come. And after a bushfire, there would be new life. And certain seeds can only grow once it's went through fire. There are certain seeds in our life. There are certain gifts, certain things in our lives that can only be activated once we encounter the fire of the Holy Spirit. I want to clearly declare this day. Let us be a people who is completely saturated by the fire of the Holy Ghost. I want to say like John the Baptist, there is one coming after me who is greater than I, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and the fire of God. Just stand to your feet for me in this place. Broska, just raise your hands to heaven. Listen, the anointing is all over me. The fire of God is really all over me. I speak now to every devil in this place. I speak to every demon. I speak to every hidden spirit. If there be anything, if it may be a family curse, if it may be anything, that tonight under the fire of God, that when the fire of heaven falls, listen to me, when heaven comes into a place, sickness is illegal. When heaven is coming into a place, curses are illegal. When heaven comes into a place, demons are illegal. Just surrender to Him. I speak to every resistance, every limitation. You know what the fire does? It makes our hearts warm again. It makes our hearts soft and sensitive to the presence. When you're full of the fire of God, it burns on your body. It literally burns on your body. When the fire comes, it literally burns. It's a physical fire from heaven. It is a tangible, transferable substance from heaven. It is not emotions. It is not emotional. It is not hyped up. It is not manufactured. It is not fabricated. It is the fire of the Holy Ghost. It is the fire of heaven. Listen to me, you might have not experienced it, but let me tell you, any situation, any circumstance you're going through, any devil there might be, knows the fire of God. The presence of God, Alex, it's like a cloud. It's in this place over Oceans Unite. When I come and minister here, it's like there's a cloud that is, it's about to burst. Don't miss out. You want to be a part of this. You don't want to be a part of religion, man. You don't want to be a part of tradition. Traditions nullifies the power of God and put my Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. I want His fire to fall. Can we not be traditional tonight? I just want to say it again. Can we not be traditional tonight? Can we not be politically correct or conservative in our personality? But can we be hungry and desperate that if I make a call, I want to see hungry people? If you are hungry for a fresh fire, that you need to see your enemies consumed. The Lord said to me that you shall stand and see your enemies consumed by the fire of God. Ah, the fire of God is in this place. If you say, Leon, I am hungry, I am thirsty, I want to be saturated and baptized with fire from heaven, I want you to run to the front now. Come to the front.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.